Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. For those of you who don't know me, wow, it's really hot. It's really hot. My name is Jeff Lee. My wife and I have been living in Skopje for 2.5 years. Last year I joined the preaching team, but some of you might say, well, you haven't preached very much. It's true, I haven't. So this is my first time this semester, so I'm very excited to be here with you preaching this morning. We're going to be talking about worship, singing praises to God. And I think it's very much a wonderful representation that we just had the worship team up here and leading us in worship as the beginning of this time that we share together. So we're going to be talking about worship and the songs that we sing to God. We've been in Luke chapter 1, and we've been in Luke all semester, and now we get to go back to the beginning of Luke and talk about Jesus and the birth. So I think that's a wonderful opportunity we have here to do that. So if you have your Bibles with us, we'll be in Luke chapter 1. And we're going to kind of skip through some of things and really just talk about the high points. This story that we see here with Elizabeth and Mary and Zechariah and the angel Gabriel, we heard a little bit about that this morning earlier. It's about being prepared. Prepare the way of the Lord. So we know from Scripture that from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there's a gap in time. We don't know what was happening in that time because we don't have it here. We don't have from the end till the beginning of Matthew. So we don't really know what's going on. We just know that some scholars call that the time of darkness or the time of silence for God. Because God's not speaking. Well, we don't know that because we don't have it written down. But now we do have something. And God is breaking silence. God is speaking. In a very specific way, God is sending a message. God sends a messenger, the angel Gabriel, coming first to Zechariah and then to Mary to give good news. Good news, great joy. That's what's going on here. The message is meant to prepare them for what's going to happen next. And since it's written down for us, it's also meant to prepare us as the readers to what's going to happen next in the story. We need to get prepared. We need to know what's going to happen. We need to be ready for it, for the coming of the Lord. The message that was given to both Zechariah and to Mary was unbelievable. It was amazing. It was tremendous. The first was very highly improbable, but the second was impossible without God. And how they respond to these messages is very important. And how we respond to an encounter with God is important. And let's see how they responded. First, Zechariah, he was a priest. And he had priestly duties. And he was doing his job. He was going into the temple, offering sacrifice and incense for the people. And while he was there, he had a vision. He had an encounter. He saw the angel. And what happened? What did it say it happened? He was gripped with fear. Now that's understandable. When we encounter God, are we gripped with fear? Do we have an emotional response to our encounter with God? It doesn't have to be fear, but it should be moving us, changing our emotion, affecting us in a way that after this encounter, we cannot be helped but be changed. So the message that the angel gives to Zechariah says, Elizabeth, his wife, will get pregnant and have a son. And Zechariah doubted. And he had some reasons. He said, how can this be? My wife is barren. She can't have any children. And she's old. It says she was along in her age, which is a polite way of saying she was old. And so he brings these excuses, these questions. I don't, angel, you must be wrong. How's this can happen? This can't happen. Because of this, the angel says to Zechariah, you will not be able to speak until this occurs. Now, women, I know 9 months of silence from your husband is good enough for you. That's great news, I know. Especially while you're pregnant. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Don't say a word. Well, that's what Elizabeth gets. So Zechariah comes out, and the people know, oh, he had a vision. Something happened. He saw something. He's unable to speak, and he's not. So next, let's skip forward to what Mary and Gabriel talk about, the encounter that they have. So she too, it says here in the text that she was perplexed. She was confused. What's going on? Why would this angel come speak to me? What have I done that deserves this? So again, first thing that Gabriel says is don't be afraid. I think that's a common theme when you're encountered with an angel that you'll be afraid. So I've never been encountered by an angel, so I don't know. I'm just going to take their word for it. It's going to be a fearful thing. But then Gabriel gives her the good news for her. You will conceive and give birth to a son. And in this case, she too has questions. She has a very legitimate question. How can this be? Because I'm a virgin. But unlike Zechariah, Mary gets an explanation. This is what's going to happen. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will conceive. Now let's see what she responds, how she responds. Verse 38, it says, then Mary said, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. So she accepts the message that was given to her. That's a powerful thing. She answers as a servant of God. When we encounter Jesus in our life, do we answer as a servant, saying, here I am? Or do we come up with excuses? Saying, oh, I'm too old. I'm along in my age. Or I'm too young. Or I'm too scared, or something else, other excuses that prevent us from doing what God is asking us to do. So she answered as a servant of God. On the story, we know that after this, she goes and visits Elizabeth, her relative. And as soon as Mary walked into the room, it says here in the text, as soon as that happened, as soon as she didn't, Elizabeth didn't even look, turn around and look. It says, the child in her womb leaped for joy. And Elizabeth explains that. Says, verse 42, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. John is the child in the womb of Elizabeth. We know from the later on the story what's happening. But John knew at that moment what's going on. Who came in the womb? It's definitely a spiritual thing. The Spirit of the Lord is in the presence, in their presence. And John knew what was going on. And leaps for joy. And this is what I want to really get to us here. What Mary says next. I don't know if you have headings in your Bible or anything. It might say Mary's song or Mary's hymn or the prayer of Mary, depending on what kind of Bibles you have. This is a song. Just like we stood up just a few minutes ago and worshiped and sang together, Mary is singing praises to God. So as I read this, I want you to also think of this as a song and let this be a song of praise to God. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, to his descendants forever. That is a powerful song of praise. Mary is praising God for what is being done in her life. She begins by rejoicing in God. My soul magnifies the Lord. She also speaks about the promises that God had made in the past and what God had done in the lives of the people. What God is talking about here, what Mary is talking about here, about God. We are in the middle of Advent. And Advent is a time where many songs about the birth of Christ are being sung. We sang some this morning. We sing about Christ as a baby, as a child coming to us. But this song here was the first song, the first Christmas song that we have. It's our first song where we can rejoice with Mary. So what is our song? When I was preparing this, I was speaking with Alicia and like trying to ask questions. So what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And she made a comment to me and said, she asked a question, kind of a rhetorical question, what is my song? You know, Mary's got a song. Can I have a song? Alicia's song or Jeff's song? Or any of your songs? What do we say when we praise God? My grandfather, every time he prayed, he would pray the ending part of his prayer was exactly the same. But not in same for routine and just, oh, it's old, the same old, same old. He really, truly meant it. And that was his prayer for all of us. So what is your prayer? What is your song and hymn today? Now, I'm not very musical at all. I can't sing. I can't play any instrument very well. But I when I think about a song, there's many that come to mind that have meaning to me. The song that we just heard from Mary was what she was giving to God. And what do I give God in my song? After hearing her words, it reminds me of a very popular contemporary song that you probably most of you have heard. It's about Mary and what she knew about Jesus, even at this point. And some of the lyrics are very familiar, and they ask questions. Some of those questions, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did she know these things? Later on in this very same song, it says that the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, and the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. We have the end of the story. We know that these things have happened. But I wonder if Mary knew these things would happen at this point. Because we've been studying the book of Luke for this year. So we remember these stories. Remember Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. Remember the demon-possessed man with legion. Remember the lame man with his friends. Remember the servant of the centurion. Remember the woman with the bleeding. We know these stories. We've studied them just recently. And I asked the question, did Mary know? Mary understands the significance of her situation. She makes a statement in the middle of her prayer that from now on, all generations will call me blessed. She knows who she is carrying with her. In the middle of her song, verse 50, it shifts, and she begins to speak about what God has done. God has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud. He has lifted the lowly, filled the hungry, helped his servant. Mary is reminding us of who God is. And we need to remember who God is. Later in the story, at the end of her song, it says that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 more months. And then she went home. And in the meantime, it was time for Elizabeth to give birth. And remember from earlier, Zechariah is still not able to talk. He's still been silenced. So all the friends and family come together and ask the question, what's his name going to be? What's the child's name going to be? Elizabeth says, John. And they all say, well, why John? Nobody in your family is called John. You have no relatives. even distant relatives that are named John. Why don't you name it after a relative? So they bring Zechariah over and says, give him something to write and let him pick the name. And he writes down John. And at that moment, that very moment, he's able to speak. And it says here in the text that he is filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke prophecy. Again, another prayer, another song. This one is Zechariah's song, or Zechariah's prophecy. And it too is full of praise and worship to God. Let's read. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and that remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And then it changes. Zechariah looks down at his son in his arms and says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people for the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Here too we have a powerful prayer and prophecy. Zechariah is reminding the reader and us as the reader who God is. Do we know who God is? Like Mary, Zechariah begins his words with praise and blessing to God. How often do we build in our prayers asking God for something? I'm not saying asking for God is not good. You need to ask God. We also need to praise God, bless God, magnify God. Zechariah then reminds us promises that God has made to the people, to us as the people. And then he speaks prophecy. To give knowledge of salvation to his people, that forgiveness of their sins. To give light to those who sit in darkness, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. God has not forgotten us. God is interceding in the lives of humans, of us today, here, an old time with Mary and Zechariah, but also with us today. I have a question for all of us. As we come up to this time of Christmas, remembering Jesus and his birth, are we ready? Are we prepared in our hearts for the coming of the Lord? Are we prepared for Jesus to come into our lives? Not that he's left and, you know, he only comes back once a year. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, are you prepared in your heart for God, for an encounter with the Almighty that changes you forever? Are we prepared? At the end right now, we're going to get prepared in our hearts. We're going to take the supper, the Lord's Supper. It's a time for us to remember what God has done in His Son, Jesus. We celebrate the resurrection, but we cannot have the resurrection if Jesus has not come first. The birth is the first thing. Jesus coming into our lives. Let's get prepared for that. So as we come just come to this side of the room here. Walk down these aisles. Me and Pastor Brian will be standing up here, take a piece of the bread, wine and juice, dip it in, and take and eat as a remembrance of what Jesus has done in our lives. So when you are ready, when you are prepared to come, come. The table is open, and we are here to worship.